This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
8 game weeks to go in FPL. It's time for the final push. Wild cards active everywhere you look, turning our football loving brains to mush. Spurs have a double in 32 and then they blank in 33. Does that mean they cancel each other out? Of course not. Get me Kane and Sonny. Fixtures turn nice, but not for the right teams. Are Arsenal really going to interest me? Get those transfers made. It's a Friday night deadline. Chris Wood would be silly, wouldn't he? Welcome to Triple Captain.
And there's a moment at the end there where it's like, was that the end of the poem?
Just experimenting with that, like, pause at the end of a poem, you know.
Power of silence. It works. That was good, mate. How are you, anyway?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm very well. FPL's been going all right for me. The renaissance continues. I've had a third green arrow in a row. So pretty happy with that.
Oh, mate, before you get into your FPL stuff, you've got to tell us the big news. Come on.
Yeah, tickets for my solo theatre show have gone on sale. So, big news there.
I've got my ticket.
Really,
front row. Oh.
Yeah.
Opening night.
Excellent. Yeah, it's going to be great to have live theatre back, isn't it? And, you know, as restrictions lift, it feels like a lot of positivity now. You know, there seems like there might be some fans for the Carabao Cup final, and then we've got the Euros, and there might be fans allowed there. And
it's going to be sick.
Oh, yeah, fingers crossed. Everything goes to plan. So yeah, it's been going well. What about you, Rich?
Yeah, mate, sound, yeah. I mean, FPL-wise, just another disappointing week, really. You know, I'll persist and I'll do the best that I can, but I just keep getting 49 pretty much every week at the moment, and it's just so upsetting.
Talk us through this week. Ben's back, everybody, by the way.
Hello.
Hey, Ben is back.
He's back.
Talk us through. You two go first. Yeah. Let's do a quick rundown of the game week just gone.
It won't take me long to get through my team. So the average was 46 this week. There was a lot of high deliverers, shall we say. Where do I start? Martinez got me 4 points, so that was a surprise, because what was the Villa score again?
It was unfortunately 3-1. Yes, so great for Villa, great comeback, but that just crappy goal from Fulham. I've been done by crappy goals this week.
Yeah, but Martinez, you know, he got save bonus as well, which is always good. So yeah, he got me a nice big 4. Backline of Maguire, Dallas, Cresswell. Of course Leeds were going to concede. I started with double Leeds defence in Strike and Dallas, but Strike didn't play because Llorente's back fit. And I think Robin Koch came off the bench as well, so I don't think Strike's going to play much for the rest of the season now if they're both fit. Midfield, Fernandes got me a nice big 5. Put the armband on Salah, the differential captain of Salah. Never thought we'd see the day, but it paid off for me. So he got me a nice big 16. I also started Gundogan in midfield, who also didn't play in this game week at all, which meant that Trossard and Suchek were the two players to come off my bench for striking Gundogan. So they got me a nice big 3. So that was brilliant.
Was it a disallowed goal from Suchek? I was listening to the West Ham game.
Yeah. It was handball. It was quite a clear handball. So it was, it was a fair decision. But West Ham, I can't get over how good they are. We'll get into that in a bit. Jay Lings, there he is. Luke's doing what would you call that? The dance move? I don't know what it is.
His finger logo. Jay Lings' finger logo.
Yeah. Is it that? Or is it? And then, yeah, the attackers got me next to nothing. Antonio went off injured. Ugh. I think I've had a player every game we go off injured. You know, it's so frustrating. And then Harry Kane, who I brought in for Watkins, got me 13. I know Watkins scored, but Kane delivered a big 13, so it's not the worst thing in the world. But yeah, 49 overall. Dropped about 35,000 places. So not ideal, but not the worst thing in the world, I suppose. How are you, Ben?
51. Very small, nice. Green arrow, 1.4 million. But yeah, I've got Martinez and Konsa. So that Fulham goal, you know what? I made a mistake. I rage transferred this week in the middle of the Villa game because I was watching us and I was like, I was like, we are rubbish. Liverpool, we're not going to score past Liverpool. And then suddenly Trezeguet comes on. We scored two goals from Trezeguet and one from Ollie Watkins. So he ended up 3-1. Mm. Cracking result for the Villa. But I did do some rage transfers this week and I transferred in Alexander-Arnold. This was during the Villa game. I transferred in Phillips for Liverpool because I was like, we're not going to score past them without Jack Grealish. And then I thought about what you said, Rich, and I took a -4 because I've got Jack Grealish and I bought in James Maddison. And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, Antonio's injured. And it's just 1 point from Antonio. Rafinha captain, so I got 12 points from Rafinha. But Harry Kane with the vice, obviously you got 13 points. It's one of those weeks where you kind of like, this is going all right. And then it just kind of slowly goes downhill as the game week progresses and everyone else starts catching up.
Oh, man.
One of them.
The rage transfer, it never, ever works out well. Mid-game as well. Something else. Anyway, you got James Maddison now, and he's a better footballer, I think. So.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation. Luke, how was your FPL week?
Yeah, don't rage transfer during the game. Oh my gosh, it's like fundamentals of FPL. You cannot do
so
that.
So you got a green arrow.
Yeah, I did.
You know.
Yeah, I got 68. I had a great game week. Despite not captaining Harry Kane, I went with Rafinha, and it was so close to being more than just an assist. I mean, just quickly on Leeds, I think I was saying to you, wasn't I, during the game, I was like, I can't wait to rant about how wasteful Leeds are in front of goal on the pod. They are the most wasteful team I've ever seen. And what annoys me is that the commentators always just talk as if they're the best team in the league. It's quite crazy. Don't get me wrong. We can all appreciate they've had a great season. You know, nearly 10th in the league. They've kept up. Bielsa's done a good job, but they're not this like hugely incredible attacking team that all the media and commentators make out. They get forward and then they miss chances, and then they get forward and then they can't create the final pass. Then they get forward and they miss and they miss and they miss.
Yeah.
And it was exactly the same against Sheffield United. Every time they went forward, they wasted it. The only player that can actually create chances is Rafinha. And when he creates a chance, whoever he creates it for, they hit it off target.
Yeah, but he would have. Yeah. If Jagielka hadn't put that in the net, then Rafinha was waiting, wasn't he? And you know what?
When
I saw, obviously Phil Jagielka is more cross than I am about it all. Because he's got one more own goal than he catches up with Carragher's record of the most own goals in the Premier League.
The greatest Premier League own goal scorer of all time. Yeah. What a record to have.
But Rafinha, when I saw that goal go in from Jagielka, he would have been on the end of that and he would have got 3 bonus as well. Like, he's definitely the best Leeds pick, for sure.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, but I think the problem with Leeds and the tricky thing about picking their players is that there's always this chance that they might score 4 or 5 goals. And you think, oh, is it going to be the day that Leeds bang? And actually, it's quite rare that they actually score as many as they kind of create. But anyway, yeah, Rafinha captain, but obviously I own Kane, so it was a 7-point difference with captain in Rafinha and Kane. Salah, a lot of people got rid of him, and he scored, obviously, which was nice. And Jay Lings, that Monday night game, 12-pointer, just absolutely buzzing with that. His goal was so good.
It was unreal.
Just ran from it within his own half.
It was a Messi-esque goal from Jay Lings.
Oh, it was superb. And Antonio looked in such bullish mood, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was playing so well. I was gutted when he got taken off, because I think that really affected West Ham's play. And I'm a little bit concerned about them going forward if they don't have Antonio, because so much of what Lingard does well is because of Antonio creating the space for him, bullying defenders.
Bowen's not going to have the same, is he? Because he's probably going to start in place of Antonio, and Bowen's he's a good player, but he's completely different to what Antonio is.
Yeah. I mean, he took his goal fantastically well, Jared Bowen. But yeah, he's nowhere near the quality of Antonio as a striker. I mean, right before Antonio got injured, the way he got through those defenders and then he managed to get a shot, like, that they were in real trouble, Wolves, if Antonio hadn't gone off. So a bit disappointed with his 1-pointer, but yeah. And then elsewhere, I brought Golonzo in, and luckily he got 3 points because he got an assist despite Chelsea conceding 5 goals.
Yeah.
He was the best option from that defence. I know a heck of a lot of people got burned by that Chelsea result. I think a lot of people have gone for double Chelsea defence. Some even went for triple Chelsea defence.
Former guest, the FPL general, triple. yeah, on a wild card.
Yeah, absolutely gutted for him on a wild card. Because like you said, Rich, it wasn't a bad decision. That was, and it seems like it was a freak result. I mean, look at Chelsea last night. They kept another clean sheet. So you'd imagine without that Thiago Silva sending off, they would have kept another one. But
yeah.
And then elsewhere, Diaz, Fernandez and Martinez bringing in a couple of a few points each. So 68, and I'm up to 76k.
Ooh, you're flying the flag for the podcast very well, gotta say. Me and Ben are down here just rage transferring and getting wrong decisions at double leads.
Yeah, so we're getting there, and wild card is active.
Whoa.
Wild card is active.
It is the only topic for today. It's all we need to talk about.
It is, yeah. I think most people are on a wild card this week. A lot of people are anyway, heading into game week 31, because fixtures turn quite a bit for certain teams. I think I'm pretty much there, you know. I've done it this morning in the very little time I have at the moment to look at FPL. I've managed to put together a team, which thankfully I did. I think a few weeks ago I did a rundown of who's got the best fixtures from 31 onwards. So I had that list with me. So it wasn't like I had to start from the beginning. I had re-looked at that. And yeah, I've managed to put together a team. Rich has lost audio for a moment. So Ben, you're not on a wild card, are you? But if you were, yeah, who would be your main picks for the remainder of the season?
Oh, okay. So I think that the team with the best fixtures between now and the end are Liverpool. And I know that Liverpool haven't been playing particularly well. Having said that, their fixtures are by far the best. I mean, they've got Villa, the mighty Aston Villa, on Saturday. Then they've got Leeds, Newcastle, United, the last four games of the season, Southampton, West Brom, Burnley and Crystal Palace. I think you've got to get Liverpool players in. And actually, I don't know. I mean, obviously they played Real Madrid, a fantastic performance from Real. I don't know if that's going to light a fire under them. I suppose it's difficult in the sense of Man City have already won it, so they're not playing for the league anymore, but I suppose they are playing for European football. Are we going to get performances from Liverpool against those teams? I think we are, aren't we?
I think we will, yeah. I think there were signs against Arsenal. I mean, although Arsenal were absolutely awful, there were signs that Liverpool were back, and obviously they've had a bit of a setback against Real Madrid. But I think in terms of FPL, If they do go out of the Champions League in that second leg, all they have to play for is top four. And they've got brilliant fixtures to do it. They could go for a real final push. And if they manage to get top four, you know, particularly those last few games, if they're close to top four. Yeah, I think we can be fairly safe in Mo Salah, for instance. Yeah. I know a lot of people have got Jota in as well, because just how clinical Jota is. I mean, he's not having anywhere near the amount of shots that Salah is. But
And cheap.
And he's just so clinical. I mean, the problem with Jota is he won't start every game, but even when he doesn't if he comes matter. On and scores, yeah, it's great. I'm not having him on my wild card. I am sticking with Mo Salah, just because he's going for that golden boot. Kane's just taken over him, and we know what Salah's like. He's got the pedigree. He's greedy as anything, and Liverpool have got the best fixtures. For me, Salah's a bit of a no-brainer, to be honest. He's still having loads of shots. He's still having big chances. You know, he's the man for me.
And also, the Salah-Mane debate seems to be completely off the boil. Don't know what's going on with Mane at all.
Yeah, although Mane has improved his numbers in recent weeks, but he's not scoring the goals. So it's still Salah for me. And, you know, especially with Mane's ownership, you'd be a bit silly going with Mane over Salah right now, I think.
Have you got any more Liverpool players?
I have.
Are you going to say TAA? Are you going to say TAA?
I've got Trent Alexander.
Me too. How about Phillips? Have you thought about him as a 4 million defender?
I've also got Phillips. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Now, Phillips will sit on the bench. I most likely won't be playing a double Liverpool defence unless there's like, you know, a real reason to, you know, because Phillips is 4 million. There's no need for me to start Phillips because my other defenders are better and they're worth more. So Phillips will sit on the bench at 4 million. That's perfect for me. And I'm going to go without Jota, I've decided. So I've got three Liverpool. I've got Salah and I've got Alexander Arnold. Now, the reason I've got Alexander Arnold is I like a bit of a risk, as I want a few punty picks. And I don't actually think Alexander Arnold is that much of a punt. As we've said.
Mate, 21 points in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Exactly. As we've said, Liverpool have got fantastic fixtures. He was bad against Real Madrid. Yes, yeah. But he was brilliant against Real Madrid. He was brilliant against Arsenal. And against those smaller teams, it's going to be a hit or miss, isn't it? And I think he's worth the risk because he could go mad at the end of the season and get into the England team for the Euros. He's got that to play for. He's got his reputation at stake. You know, there's a lot of question marks around him. And this is like the perfect time, I think, for him to really come into his own and rediscover his form. So if he doesn't, it's a failed punt, but I'm willing to make it.
But they're at the home of where all their defeats are happening at the moment. The place where, how long were they unbeaten for? 60-something games or something like that? And now they've lost their last five in the league at Anfield, is it? Something like that?
Yeah, I think they've lost their last six, but perfect time to get back on track. Perfect time to get back on track.
Against Villa as well, like it's made, to, like that's just, it's a perfect team for them to come back from Real Madrid and play. Because I love Villa, of course I do, but at the same time, like we did have a great result, but it was all done in the last quarter of the game. We looked sloppy for that first half.
I think that game has got 1-0 El Ghazi written all over it. You could see it happening.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
Do you want a podcast? We'll make it for you, as long as you give us some money.
But not as much as you think. Podcasts are a really cost-effective way to engage with the people that matter to your business the most. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk and we'd be delighted to talk to you about just how cheap they are.
Don't say cheap, say cost-effective.
Just how cost-effective they are.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more. Right, back to the episode.
Their defensive stats have really are still really good as well, Liverpool, in terms of like shots conceded and all of those kind of defensive metrics. They're up there with Chelsea and United and City. Not quite as good as City and Chelsea stats, but they're up there, you know. So I'm confident with Alexander Arnold, and I think he's worth the risk. I really do.
So you're looking at the right rather than the left, and just Robertson, because he was your hero for so long in FPL, wasn't he?
He was, but Trent's stats are just so much better now. I think Trent's created 16 chances in his last six games. Oof, which is huge. I think Robertson's created 7. So yeah. Trent's just way up there.
On paper.
Exactly. Yeah. It might be probably on free kicks, on most corners. So there's a chance of goals there as well. So I think if Robertson's numbers were still right up there, then it would be a toss up. But Trent's the man for me.
I'm enjoying this game of Guess the Wild Card. Can I go to the other end of the pitch now and take a punt that you've got at least two, if not three players, I think maybe two players from Leicester? If we're looking at fixtures, they've got West Ham, West Brom, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Newcastle. Tricky last few weeks for Leicester. They've got Man United, Chelsea and Spurs to round off their season. But I think you've brought in Iheanacho up front because of how cheap he is and how many goals he's currently scoring.
Kalecha.
You are good at this, Ben. You are very good at this. Yeah, I've got two Leicester players. I've got James Maddison and I've got Kelechi and Iheanacho. Yeah.
Mental.
I haven't had Maddison for a long time. And ever since he came to the Premier League, I've always been kind of a bit against him, really, because I think he creates a lot, has a lot of shots, but doesn't often score the points. This season, however, he's looked a lot more likely in front of goal. And I think now he's back in Leicester's team, he's going to really improve them. And before he got injured, he was having a lot of shots, which I really, really like, of course. And the reason I've gone for Iheanacho is I would have preferred Richarlison at Everton, I think, because Everton are going to have a double game week at some point. But I just can't afford to fit him in terms of everybody else as well. So Iheanacho, I am going to go with him at first, and then he may come out at some point. It depends. But I think particularly the West Ham game, I mean, that could be any number of goals, couldn't it? The way Leicester play and the way West Ham have been playing, that could be a goal fest. So I'm really not concerned about that fixture. I think Maddison and Iheanacho are in for me, yes. So
I'm just looking at fixtures again, and it's almost the reverse, because you're a man who likes to
this
plan.
This is great. Guess the wild card.
The next 3 weeks for Leeds are difficult. They've got Man City, Liverpool and Man United. But from game week 34 to 38, they've got Brighton, Spurs, Burnley, Southampton and West Brom. I think you've got two Leeds players. I think you've gone for Rafinha, and I think you've gone, because he's been so close to scoring in the last three games, Dallas at the back.
No, wrong on both. I've got no Leeds. I've got no Leeds. No
Leeds.
And it's the fixtures. Yeah, I don't like the next three at all. And I think when other teams have got nice fixtures, I don't think I'm going to miss out by not having any Leeds for the next three games. And then what is it? Is it Burnley then Spurs they've got?
Spurs, game week 35, 36 is Burnley, and then Southampton and West Brom to end their season.
Yeah, so I think after that Spurs game, I'll absolutely bring Rafinha back, possibly Bamford back as well, and possibly even Dallas. But yeah, I think I can go without them for now, and I think there's better options. So no, there's no Leeds in my wild card squad.
Rich, it's your turn now, because I failed in the last one.
Well, Rich, have you done any planning on your team so far?
The only guys who I'm really interested in, well, we haven't mentioned them yet, but from Manchester United, I'm thinking maybe Edison Cavani, because I heard that Martial is probably going to be out for the rest of the season. And I don't know whether Rashford will play as an out-and-out striker, but Cavani will almost definitely play as an out-and-out striker. But it's the question of whether he'll start every single game week until the end of the season for me. Do you reckon he could?
It's possible, but I think there is a risk there. Obviously, we're still in the Europa League. Let's see how that goes tonight. And Mason Greenwood played, when Cavani went off, Greenwood played as a number nine and scored the winning goal against Brighton. Yeah. And Ollie's been very, very positive and talking him up in that position. And because Martial's injured, I think Greenwood could definitely start up front for a couple of those Premier League games. So I do think Cavani's a little bit too much of a risk. And I also think he was off the pace against Brighton. He really was. And I think there's not enough there for me when there's other strikers in the Premier League who I think are more likely to score goals at the moment. I think Cavani's great to have up front for United in terms of he's a nuisance. And he will put chances away. But he's a bit too much of a risk and a bit too pricey for me. You know, I think when you've got Iheanacho at 5.8 and you've got like Watkins at 6.6 million, you've got Antonio, who's, albeit he's injured at 6.6, you've got Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin who are the same price as Cavani, and you know they're going to start every game for Everton.
Yeah. I mean, looking at players, I mean, we were saying, weren't we, the other week, like we need to look at teams who've got things to play for. So, you know, like your Leeds, your Arsenal, they've probably not really got anything to play for this season in terms of league. All right, maybe they could still sneak into the Europa League positions, but they're probably not going to. Whereas Manchester United, I don't think the top four is properly nailed on for them yet. They're in a very strong position, don't get me wrong, but everybody around them is doing pretty well. And, you know, I'd like to think that Ollie would start Cavani for his experience and that sort of thing, but maybe that's
Greenwood could be a bit of a differential pick, by the way. I mean, recently his stats have really improved in recent games, so maybe worth keeping an eye on him.
You've got Fernandes, haven't you, in terms of guess the wild
card? I haven't.
No!
Ooh! Wow! But he's the man. He's the man.
And the fixtures are tough, though. Although, the reason I've still got Fernandes, because he has been off the boil, but I can see Man United players getting chopped down by quite a lot. Like, I can see some pens coming for United before the end of the season. They think about it. They're playing Burnley, Leeds, Fulham, Wolves. I don't know. I think it's going to be some desperate defending against United.
Yeah.
Look, he's very, very likely to come back in for me. I'm literally looking at the next few game weeks, and I've gone for Kevin De Bruyne against Leeds. It might be risky, but I'm willing to roll the Pep rotation dice for just this 1 week, because I've stuck captain on De Bruyne against Leeds. He's been so good in recent weeks. He's been so good. He's one of the most popular captain choices this week. I think he's second popular captain choice this week. So I thought, I'll bring him in. Fernandes isn't going to be captained against Spurs. I can probably do without him this week. Then Spurs have got a double game week in 32. So my plan is, providing, you know, I don't get injuries and things like that. My plan is to take De Bruyne out for Son in game week 32 for Spurs' double. Then, of course, City and Spurs blank in 33. So then Son will go back to Bruno Fernandes for game week 33. So I'll only be without Fernandes for 2 weeks. But that, of course, I'm planning ahead there. And it's tricky if you plan transfers ahead because things might happen. You might have to take someone else out, and you know. So it's all bearing in mind that everything else is going well. But that's my plan. I think I can be without Fernandes for 2 weeks. And I think De Bruyne has got more chance of scoring highly against Leeds than Fernandes has against Spurs. This is providing De Bruyne starts, of course.
He will.
I think if he doesn't, you know, even if he doesn't, if he doesn't come on, that's fine. I've got vice-captain Salah and I've got cover on the bench. If he does come on, he's likely to get points. So, I'm quite happy to take that risk this week. And I've got Salah, who's probably who is the other popular captain choice this game week. So, yeah, I've gone without Fernandes, but that's my plan. And I haven't got Son at the moment, but I'm going to bring Son in next week for Spurs' double.
But you have got Kane.
I have got Kane.
Yes.
Yeah. Kane is staying. It would be stupid to get rid of Kane. He's a captain option every week. Obviously, this week he plays United. So if anyone's going to score from Spurs, I mean, it's quite crazy the stats of Kane compared to the other Spurs players. I think in the last six or the last four, he's had something like 19 shots. And the closest person to him is Son with 5. Well, that's how much Kane is running the Spurs' attack right now. You have to have him in.
Does he have a good record against Man United?
I think it's probably pretty good. I don't know.
He's got a record against everyone, doesn't he, to be honest?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, at least this game week, he's not going to be so heavily captained at all because it's United.
Yeah.
But you've got to have Kane in your team, I think. There's my other striker...
Oh, what's he like
now? So you've got Iheanacho, you've got Kane.
Yes.
So therefore, you've got Salah, you've got KDB, you've got Madison, you've got Trent. So you've spent a lot of money already. I think you've probably kept Alonso as well.
I have kept Alonso.
Yeah, so that's a good chunk of change.
I literally love
this game. So you must have gone for a cheap striker. Ollie Watkins.
Nope.
Who am I going to say? Is it Alexander Mitrovic?
No, it's not Mitrovic.
Okay.
Go on then.
Go on. We don't know.
It's Chris Wood.
Oh, I would never have guessed Chris Wood. That would have been a long game.
Exciting pick of all time.
Chris Wood. How many times have you slagged off Chris Wood on this podcast?
I know. But his stats are so good in recent game weeks. And Burnley have been scoring goals and attacking. Yeah. I mean, they scored 2 against Southampton. They scored 2 against Everton. Scored against Arsenal. Scored against Leicester. And they play Newcastle next in that crunch relegation fixture.
Yeah.
Yes, it might be a really edgy, tight game. Neither team kind of wanting to give too much away. But if anyone's going to score for Burnley... You got to get it on Chris Wood, surely.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I did the Burnley game at the weekend against Southampton, and they were so on top against Southampton for maybe the first 35 minutes, something like that, and then they went to pot. But it was so weird. It was a proper like throwback because it was Wood and Vidra who started together, and it was like when Cole and York used to start for Manchester United. They just bounced off each other so well. And yeah, I think there could be a few goals for Chris Wood, but Vidra's not quite up to the level, I don't think, to be in your FPL team, but Wood. No. Also, I loved his penalty where he just smashed it as hard as he could right down the middle. That's a proper Burnley penalty, that.
Yeah, I mean, Wood may change tomorrow. I mean, this isn't completely finalised, so he may change. I mean, their fixtures aren't the best. I mean, they've got Newcastle, then United, then Wolves, then West Ham, but then they've got Fulham and Leeds, which is nice, then Liverpool, Sheffield United to finish. So a bit of a mixed bag, but there's potential to bench him in those bad fixtures. And I've got Phillips on my bench. I've also got Connor Cody from Wolves on my bench because I think Wolves' fixtures are brilliant. Yes, they're not really producing results, but, you know, he's an option. They've got Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Brom, Brighton. I mean, brilliant, brilliant fixtures. So there's surely a clean sheet or two in there. But yeah, so Wood could change. I mean, I like Ollie Watkins would probably be my option there because Villa have got a double coming up and he's a bit more consistent, isn't he, than Wood, especially if Grealish comes back. then Watkins is an option, and he's most likely to score, isn't he, from Villa, I think, at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, so guessing the wild card then, that means there's one space left in your defence.
Yes.
And it also means you've got Cody and Phillips from Liverpool on the bench, TAA and Alonso currently starting. I think you would have wanted Ruben Dias, but you wouldn't have been able to afford him, so you've gone for John Stones.
No, I was able to afford him. I've kept Ruben Dias, yeah.
Ben, your investigative work into this is top notch. Have you ever thought of applying for the police?
Mate, I'm literally writing it all down. Yeah. They wouldn't have me, mate, trust me. I've been writing it all down here. So I know you've still got... Yeah, we've still got a guest goalkeeper who I think you've probably gone for Martinez because he's just a set and forget. Even though Villa have got some tricky games, we might not keep clean sheets. He proved himself in terms of his save points against Fulham. He always gets points.
No, I reckon you're going McCarthy of Southampton because he's cheap. No, oh, okay.
But he's not McCarthy's not playing, is he? It's
Forster.
It's Forster, yeah.
True. Go on. Tell us.
It's Edouard Mendy in goal.
Ah, the hero.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Edouard Mendy. Chelsea's fixtures are really, really nice. And I think that West Brom game was a bit of an anomaly. And I think now, you know, Tuchel will just make sure that doesn't happen again. Mm. So I've got Mendy and Alonso. And obviously, if Alonso doesn't start, I've got Phillips and Cody to come off the bench. And then, yeah, so I think I've probably got more money, actually, Ben, than you perhaps thought. So, yeah, we've got everybody now, haven't we, apart from one. So we've got...
Who's your backup goalie?
Backup goalie's Forster from Southampton.
Right,
He's 4 million and he's starting.
Yeah.
So that's ideal.
Will that continue, by the way, do you think? Because it has been a bit kind of chop and change,
hasn't
it?
Don't know.
They've been like the same level, they're the same level of goalkeeper. They're both... below average, unfortunately.
I mean, as a manager, it's one of the things you don't really want to think about, isn't it? Your goalkeeper, you want to put your goalie in for the season. Don't worry about it. Like, surely he's going to have to, in the next few weeks for the run-in, he's going to have to choose one of them and stop chopping and changing them.
I think I might be right in saying this from the Southampton game, but McCarthy has the lowest save percentage in the Premier League this season. So, you know. If you've got that stat, how can you be playing week in, week out for a team who's trying to avoid relegation? So it's probably a smart move to bring him in. It's like when Brighton started playing, what's his name, over Ryan?
Sanchez.
When they brought him in, because Ryan had one of the worst save percentages, and now Sanchez is blossoming from that. I could see Forster probably playing until the end of the season now for Saints.
Yeah, so it's just the one midfield spot to fill now.
Well, hang on, I've got down, you've got KDB, Salah and Maddison.
Oh, yeah, sorry, two midfield. Yeah, one is a bench option and one's starter.
Jesse Lingard
is in. Yes, he is. I looked at other options. Pedro Neto from Wolves, not reliable enough for me. Saka at Arsenal was my other choice, but who knows what's happening with Arsenal week to week, and they're still in the Europa League. Jesse Lingard's the one for me. He's really on form, and West Ham have got decent fixtures, and they are pushing for that top four, aren't they? So he's the man, and I hope he can continue his form if Antonio is out.
I was going to say Smith Rowe.
It's correct.
Oh. Yeah, is it? Ben, this is unreal.
Even though what you just said about Arsenal, 4.2 million.
Yeah, third sub.
There's so much better when he's on the pitch as well.
He's not starting, is he, because of Odegaard, but I don't care, you know, he's third bench for me, and that I think is fine. So yeah, I think really the only one that might change from that is Chris Wood. I can't really see any others changing, and the way Chris Wood would change, I'd have to downgrade somebody else. So there's a few changes that would possibly still happen. I could get rid of Marcus Alonso and go for someone like Luke Shaw and not have the Chelsea double defence. And then that would give me enough money to move Chris Wood to someone like Watkins, who's probably going to be more reliable, isn't he? Looking at Burnley's fixtures again then has really kind of put me off Chris Wood. But it's just that Newcastle fixture that I thought he could be great. But I've already planned a few transfers further down the line. I don't want to have to plan on moving Wood out as well. Villa have got a double game week coming up. Their fixtures aren't amazing, but Ollie Watkins is probably a decent option to the end of the season, isn't he?
Definitely. He's the Villa man who's going to score, especially if Grealish isn't playing. You know, the fact that Trezeguet scored a couple of goals at the weekend was an absolute, you know, anomaly. I don't think anybody expected that.
Mate, no, it's not. Trust me, Trezeguet, our goals come from Trezeguet and El Ghazi. Like, they come on. And there's a very weird stat about how Villa score a lot of goals when Keenan Davis is on the pitch in the last 20 minutes. So they bring Keenan on. And actually, he did play quite well the other day. But now, I don't know, Trezeguet...
It's a risk having your team, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not going to start. But he's got an eye for, like Ezri Konsa, he's got an eye for goal.
Yeah, I mean, I had him in, didn't I, at the start of the season for quite a few games, and he did nothing. In that game against Liverpool where they won 7-2, he only got an assist and he started. There was a reason I brought him in, and it was because of that. I mean, I kind of wish Alonso's stats weren't as good as they actually are. I mean, because then it would kind of be easy for me to just move him to Luke Shaw or someone like that, who's going to definitely start for the rest of the season. But Shaw's numbers have dropped off a little bit in terms of his chances created in the last four games. So I'm not as kind of like, I badly need Shaw. And as we know with United, as we saw against Brighton, they're still a little bit dodgy at the back and we can concede at any time. But Alonso like hit the post twice, I think, against West Brom. He got an assist. He's had the most shots still from the whole of Chelsea's team in his last four, five, six games. It's like,
mental. You've got to have him.
Yeah. Like I can't not put him in. I suppose another option for me would be to downgrade Ruben Dias for John Stones, but Dias starts a lot more than Stones. There's a few little tweaks I might make, but the bulk of the team is staying, I think. I think Mendy's definitely nailed. I really want Alexander-Arnold to stay. Dias is pretty nailed. Salah, Lingard, Madison and De Bruyne are nailed. Kane and Iheanacho are nailed. So there's only a couple of little tweaks here and there that I think I'll make for now. And yeah, deadline's tomorrow, isn't it? So fingers crossed it goes well. Rich, what are you going to do? Are you playing your wild card or not?
I'm going to play my wild card, but I need to sit down, I need to get my pad out, and I need to write down my options. But what I do know is that Marcus Golonzo will be the first name on my wild card team sheet. It is written in the stars that he's going to deliver for the rest of the season. But then this weekend, you know, he'll be dropped for Chilwell, you won't.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You've now got me interested in Mitrovic. I mean, can he be the saviour for Fulham to keep them up? I don't think he can he? I think it'd be silly to bring him in.
It would be, I don't know, I like the look of Fulham. I kind of like their gung-ho-ness. To be fair, they were unlucky against Villa because they were just awful at the back, weren't they? But you never know. If there's any team that's going to get out of it, it's probably going to be Fulham. But I just don't know where the bulk of their goals are going to come from.
And I feel like that third striker spot is an option really for a punt, you know, for a bit of a more risky pick. Mm. I suppose the other option would be to just pick Brewster and play five in midfield, which I could look at. But again, there's no one really that's like jumping out at me. I mean, is Pedro Neto a better option than Chris Wood, for instance? Is Bukayo Saka a better option than Chris Wood? Probably is, isn't he, really?
I don't know, but you know that Wood is going to be the focus of all of Burnley's attacks.
True.
So, I don't know. I'd stick with Wood if I was you. As much as we roll our eyes at picking Chris Wood, he's probably a good choice for the money that he costs.
What do you think, Ben? 3-5-2, five in midfield or four in midfield and three up front?
End of the season, things start to get a little bit silly with goals, don't they? So
yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of goals. I don't think there's going to be many clean sheets now. I feel like, like you said earlier, Rich, there's a lot of teams with a lot to play for. Mm. Part of me kind of thinks, do a huge gamble and bring in Aguero for the last bit of the season. Oh,
last game of the season, you know he's going to score.
Like, is he going to, like, bearing in mind he's off now and they've basically won the league, how many points do they need to guarantee? Is it something like they need one more win or two more wins?
I think it might be a little bit more than that. Yeah.
Is it?
I think is it 14 points they're ahead? Man United, something like that.
Are they going to give him a good run out? I just think Chris Wood is... I don't see it. I don't think you're going to be... Leave him on the bench, fine.
So you'd rather play five across the midfield?
I think so.
And bring in Brewster.
Yeah, but who would you bring in? What kind of price range would you be looking at them for midfield?
Well, Brewster's, I think, about one and... I'd be looking around 6 million price bracket for a fifth midfielder. So you've got Rafinha, Neto, Saka, players like that.
Suchek.
Foden. I think he might get a good run in terms of kind of running up to the Euros. Do you know?
It's such a risk.
Odegaard, 6 million, bang on.
Odegaard could be a decent option. Yeah, just Arsenal though. They're just, I mean, they're in the Europa. They're not going to get Europe, are they? So I think, are they really going to play that well in the last few games? I know they've got great fixtures. Same with Wolves, isn't it, as well? It's like, they're safe pretty much. I mean, I think they probably need a couple more wins, but they're not going, they're not pushing for Europe. So really,
they're just waiting for next season, aren't they?
That's yeah, it. You're looking at, like, you know, Everton, West Ham, Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs. They're much better options, aren't they? Anyway, so we know pretty much what my wild card is. That's pretty much my plans. If there might be a few tweaks in there, I might get too scared by Chris Wood. But captain is going to be on De Bruyne. I'm going to take that risk this week.
Okay. He's been in good form, but Liverpool haven't been in good form at Anfield. But I'm entrusting the big C with Mo Salah because I like his goal-scoring form at the moment. And I think, you know, Villa might be a little bit toothless when they go over to Merseyside.
Yeah, it's written that we're going to lose at the weekend. We battered them earlier in the season. We're going to go to Anfield, and I don't think we're going to have a good day, especially if Jack Grealish isn't back. I'll put the captain's armband on De Bruyne.
Great. Well,
here we go then.
Here we go.
Wild card
week. Good luck, everyone. Rich, I guess we'll talk about who you've picked next week.
Oh, I'm going to send you so many drafts in this chat, so please pay attention to WhatsApp over the next few hours.
Good luck, everyone.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost 3 pounds this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost 3 pounds this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone four.
I have also lost 3 pounds this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am 1 pound down this week.
All
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.